Yeah, we got a show to set up.
Yeah, that's right. Be quiet. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to UFO on the Cover. That was Jason. We were talking just before we came live because neither one of us realized we were actually going live. And honestly, guys, the servers don't wait for us. They just go live. They're not so much interested. They're set to go live at 5 minutes after 7 unless I'm there to stop it up. Yeah, so we're live now, everybody. I want to welcome everyone to UFO on the Cover, UFO. You know, it's a great show to come hang out. I say this every week. I love being here. I get to talk with everybody. We get great guests, and we do a lot of iCar work on it, which is some of the stuff we're going to be talking about later tonight. But it's one of the things that we just do these days. The show comes in really handy for getting out vast amounts of information. The only downside to really see is a lot of our directors don't get the credit they deserve. I hear iCar material. You know, when I got involved with this back in 98, with the media side of it. I'm not talking about the UFO side. I've been on the UFO side since I was 18. But when I got into the media side back in 98, none of our material was anywhere. And then, I can't even remember his name now, Jeff from Stardust Radio offered me a gig hosting Wake Up USA. Jason, when was that, like 2002, 2003? Might have been late. Somewhere right around there. Maybe a little late. It might have been 4 or something. But anyway, hosted with him for a few years. I did about
2003.
I think you're right. I think it is 2003. Did about, I think all together came out to about almost 500 shows we did together. No, I'm sorry, 250 shows. I apologize. I don't know where, well, I was thinking of something else entirely different there. It was about 250 shows I did with him. Excellent shows. All of them great guests, great material. Some guests a little doofus and stupid, but y'all enjoy those. So Jason, matter of fact, is in one of them where he's calling out Nancy Lee on Zeta Talk. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
That was my greatest hits of all time.
And y'all do, by the way, this is Jason Wilson, iCar's North American director, talking with us. We're just doing an intro monologue, so that's why he hasn't really started talking with y'all yet. But, you know, the show itself has gained a lot of popularity, but what I've noticed, a lot of our terminology, stuff, if you go back and listen to the old Wake Up USO episodes and hear the callers calling in and hearing me talk to them and all, you'll see here specific terminology that you didn't hear then. But now in ufology, it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's ridiculous because we simply don't get the credit we deserve. I get more than most of the directors do, but still, none of them are really getting the credit they deserve. I mean, there's just frankly, we have changed abduction research and the way abductions are handled in the field. No one talked about support group abductions. When we started this back, people were like, a support group, oh no, all them people are crazy. You can't do that. What are you talking about? Oh no. And then we started setting rules. You can't just randomly go hypnotizing people and using words like alien and spacecraft. This has all directly contributed to us and our really big mouths and our really big patience on, you know, getting this out there. And at least it's gratifying to see the fields change. And like I said, though, if you don't believe me, you go listen to the old episodes, and you'll hear the terminology, and then listen to the more prominent ufologists today, because I interviewed everybody in the field more than 5 times. Stanton Friedman, I think, 14, 15 times now. Now, there's a couple other ones up in that area as well. And you can hear it for yourself, you know, because we get into that in quite a good detail. Anytime I have a guest on that's talking about a particular subject that's close to my heart, I like to get into detail with them because that's the best way to get the truth. That's the best way to get them to reveal what they're really thinking. Because once you get them relaxed enough that they're not really thinking about the interview, they're thinking about what we're talking about, then you'll be surprised how many people tell you stuff and how many people pick up on what you say. And the only bad part is we don't get credit for it. Anyway, enough about that. Jason, what you up to, babe?
Well, actually, man, you know, one of the things, one point in particular about that is the whole missing time scenario.
Oh, no.
More or less, you know, back if you go back, let's say into the mid-90s or so, or at least into the 90s at some point, that, you know, it was almost a given that, you know, people out there researching abductions, it was almost a given that if there was an abduction, somebody would be expecting a mid-episode. And one of the points that we started making, as early as the late 90s, was that, well, missing time is not always a factor. And, in fact, with a lot of the contactees I talked to, it seems that there might have been a few missing time incidents earlier in somebody's lifetime or earlier in somebody's childhood, but, you know, as far as anything recent, when I say recent, I mean, let's just go ahead and say past 15, 20 years or so. I mean, missing time is much less of a factor. I mean, there are still a few isolated incidents of that occurring every now and then, but, I mean, it's definitely not the given a lot of people.
What's up, man?
Hey,
and
Joe?
That's become something that's,
Yeah, what's up?
Hold on.
Now. We more or less pioneered that. And like Joe said, nobody gives anybody any damn credit.
They don't get any credit. Joe, what you doing, man?
Cute, man. Wait for a buddy of mine to come over about to drink some beer.
Drinking a beer, you got to come hang out with me and Jason. See, he forgot he's supposed to be hanging out with us tonight, man. What are we going to do with Joe?
Well, I think it's Thursday.
Is it Thursday? Somebody, Jason, next time you see Joe, you smack him for me, buddy. Just smack him.
Yeah, Joe's never been on Thursday.
man, I've been out of weed for like 2 months. My days are all off and shit.
Like, behave yourself so the whole world don't hear you talking, man.
Yeah, you can't like blame that on weed and then announce it on radio.
Yeah, I can.
Well, you can. Maybe you should.
It's bad for you. No, you can hang out with us for a little while we're talking, because
we
want to get you to get some input on some stuff, and we want to talk a little bit about Texas here in the near future, because they got some upcoming stuff in Texas, and it's been kind of crazily busy. And no, people, don't call me if you're stoned and you've seen a UFO. Call Joe. The other Joe. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Call Jason, because it gives some purpose.
Anyway, where were we at? What was I thinking about? Now you done sidetracked me thinking about other things. Man, you just, why don't you see, you go be Colorado State Director, man. And, no, I'm sorry, before anybody from Colorado writes to me, no, that's Phil Torrey's job, by the way. We're just teasing. And while I'm thinking about that, our Colorado State Director, Phil Torrey, his father passed away this week. So we want to send out condolences for him and say hi. And another good friend of mine, his dad, not dad, but a friend of mine and my mother's passed away, old man Charlie, who's a great guy. So I want to say condolences to him. And DeAndre's mother also passed away this weekend, so I want to say condolences to him. And for anybody who didn't know, Gregory Miller had a heart attack Monday, who is host of The Voice of the People. So it's been an interesting 4 days is all I can tell you. But anyway, I want to, you know, Greg, hope you get better and you're feeling better soon. To everybody else, I want to send out our condolences, because I'm going to miss all of them. And the ones I didn't know, condolences to our friends, because I know losing a loved one bites. So anyway, enough about all of that. Now that we've depressed all our listeners.
Hey, when it rains, it pours.
It does tend to do that. We were talking about, you know, some of the legitimate stuff we were doing that we had started in iCar. Jason was talking about the missing time, and it's interesting because, you know, when we got into this, when we were doing interviews and telling people, oh, no, you could have gain time, you could have, you know, even time, it doesn't necessarily have to be missing time, what's the deal? And, of course, you know, people, no, it's always got to be missing time. It's always got to be missing time. It's always got to be missing time. No, well, it doesn't. We've learned now that missing time doesn't even happen hardly anymore. The thing of it is I guess most people want to think that extraterrestrials are stupid, even though they can take us and do whatever they want. We want to think they're stupid and that they're not going to adjust to our research. And this shows you the difference between real researchers who are either out to write a book or make a little money off the field, because you're never going to get rich in this field, but you can make a little money. Those kind of people will never find these things out because they're not doing that kind of research. They're just, let me talk to 5 contactees and talk about how the Pleiadians are here to love us and blow smoke up our butts and all kind of other stuff. And by the way, since I said that, I might as well say the rest of it. You know, guys and girls, if E.T. was here to save us or enlighten us, we would be an enlightened planet. Look around. Look around, really. Do you consider Earth to be an enlightened species? Well, even better than that, do you even consider us to be moving in the right direction to be an enlightened species? Now, on the other hand, everybody's, they're going to destroy us. They're going to wipe us out. They're going to infiltrate us. Okay, they've been here a long time. They wanted to destroy us, 50,000 years, 100,000 years ago when there was nobody here. Well, it would have even been a big deal, you know, or even 5,000 years ago when we were throwing spears at each other, or 6,000 years ago. Oh, look, UFO, wipe out the whole, you know, city. I mean, really, guys, and what are they, 50 million of us then, 80 million of us or something?
From a practical point of view, if I just wanted to eliminate a species and take over the world and the resources, I think I would have done it, you know, right after they developed the flintlock pistol, you know, somewhere around then.
Make it sporting? Jason wants to make it sporting so they can at least shoot back. What do you think, Joe? I can see Joe out there now with his flintlock. Hey, Dalian scum bastard. I can see that. Joe, what you doing, man? Wake him up.
Yeah, wake up, Joe.
I'm awake. I figure aliens should have went ahead and taken out the planet as soon as we developed the atomic bomb.
That's actually a good point. And they did kind of show, didn't they? Show
but then again, they could be just sitting around waiting to see if we actually destroy ourselves first, and then they can come in and take over the planet.
Oh, so Joe thinks they're out there making bets. see, it's 2013. You know, 1999, y'all blew it. That payoff's been paid off. You know, next day, 2020, will they make it? Let's see. Put down your bets now. It's just kind of funny.
Well, you know, a lot of the people that are proponents of the, you know, kind of loving new agey, loving life, you know, point of view on extraterrestrials, they like to point out that, well, ETs don't want us using nuclear weapons because there were a couple of cases in the 70s, I believe, maybe back in the late 60s, too, where UFOs were spotted over nuclear missile silos and other launch facilities, and everything just sort of went haywire and quit working. So to them, that's proof that aliens don't want us using nuclear weapons. But if you take a look at it, you know, they sure as hell didn't stop the Enola Gay. You know, they didn't seem to make any of a presence around the Trinity Project, at least none that was ever publicly reported anyhow. There have been, what, worldwide about 2,000 nuclear tests, you know, in the planet's history. They've let us blow up 2,000 of the things on the planet, and they haven't seemed to have batted an eye. So, I mean, what gives you any kind of impression that they want to stop nuclear weapons? I mean, it's obvious that they haven't.
Yeah, that's the thing, they haven't. I mean, what was it, 60, 70, 68, 69, 70, 71? When were they shutting down the silos? Any of y'all remember? I know it was back there somewhere when they were shutting down our nuclear silos going. Oh, but other than that, they never make a presence anywhere. I mean, I don't think they cared. Joe might be right. In fact, they might just be waiting to see if we're going to blow ourselves up now that we've got it, but they don't really seem to be cared. And to the person, I've said this on the air before, E.T. probably has the ability to clean up the planet after a nuclear war. We're not that far off of it ourselves. I mean, have y'all ever heard of Christmas Island or Sandwich Island, Bikini Atoll?
Well, not so much as cleaning up the planet, but cleaning the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they might be. Well, hell, they might be doing that right now. Maybe Gore's right. We have global warming. It's just caused by the reptilians.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Charlie Sheen?
They're causing global warming. That's right.
Oh, wait. What was that movie when they were down in South America and they went to the Arecibo telescope? Oh, what the hell was that with the aliens with legs that went backwards and stuff?
I think that was The Arrival.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
It meant to be Arrival to the
Re-Arrival. Or Contact, or you're thinking of an X-Files episode.
Mulder went down there, too. That was kind of a creepy episode.
Yeah, Mulder went down there and found him a dead Mexican.
Well, they had that one little dude in there in that little silo, and he's all, like, freaking out, so scared he can't talk, and then it's kind of creepy. He pulls out a Sharpie and draws this little alien head.
Yes, I am. Speaking of that, before I go on, I should have had her join us, but she's hosting her own show now. Stephanie Benetti is going to be our new New York director. I knew I was going to have trouble with that, new New York director. She's going to be taking over as state director. She's technically in training because she's like, UFO what?
UFO what?
And
that's a good name for .com, UFO what? .com.
Don't be giving ideas away on the air, Joe. Damn, we might need that.
Well, welcome to the club, Stephanie. I'm glad you've made it to Maldives. Yay.
The new Yankee director. Okay, how's that, Glenn? You like that better? The new Yankee director. Oh, wait a minute. Kim Knowles is a Yankee director. She's our Massachusetts director. By the way, they're working on getting some TV and some video. I can't wait to see that. That's upcoming, hopefully, in the near future. And they're doing some good work as well. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to try to get to all of it tonight as much as we can.
You know, I really think we should be in TV. And, you know, I'm not really bragging on the organization by saying this. This is a cold, stone cold fact. But we've got some pretty attractive people in the group.
Yes, but we're a little too. I think I was talking with Don Horse over at Discovery, and they want, how can I say this politely? They want more drama and less fact, which we could produce. I mean, that's not so much the issue. It's just they say that he said that our facts are kind of scary sometimes.
So what we need to come up with is an alien abduction reality TV show.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were invited.
Everybody loves reality TV.
You know, Joe, it was two different times they tried to get a bunch of people from iCar. They were done out of Texas, by the way, too. They approached all kind of directors, and nobody wanted to go do it. There was reality abduction series for some reason. Nobody. They even asked me, and I'm like, nah, I don't think I want to be followed around all the time.
You know, see, I get on that, and it'd be like some crappy version of the real world, where I'm like, you know, stuck in a house with like 8 New Agers or something like that. Oh, that would be great.
Hey, as long as I get a paycheck, I don't give a shit.
There is that.
Yeah. You got to get out there and bust them. What's a paycheck, man? E.T. might take you home or something. Or bring you somewhere interesting. Somewhere really interesting. I don't know. The galaxy is a big place. I'm sure there's somewhere out there I'd like to go visit. James. That's not going to be for like 300 million years when we pass through the middle of those red dwarfs and kills everybody.
Don't worry about it.
Not anytime soon, dude. Just get over it. I was thinking about that the other day. I was talking with somebody about that the other day, about traveling through the galaxy, and we got to pass through that zone where all those stars are. And it seems to coincide with the great extinctions on the planet every 400 or 500 million years. maybe there's something there that we don't want to see. We'll see what happens with all of that. And with our ancestors, maybe they'll figure it out. But anyway, I want to get back to what we were talking about on the different things, because a lot of the data got put out early in the days. You know, you hear people talk about blue grays now. Oh yeah, I guess they do. Before, no one ever. Matter of fact, the blue grays, the blue plasma in the 15%. I got more BS over that from mainstream ufology and the followers out there than anything else. NASA accepted fact in the field, but back in the day it was like, oh no, the grays aren't blue. What the hell are you talking about? No. Or like when we announced, oh well, you know what? Those black patches aren't actually eyes. Those are things that enhance their vision. There's eyes behind it. Oh my god!
They're like contact or protective lenses.
Yeah, you know, you would have thought we were like trying to end the field or something. Really and truly, there was nobody really doing any legitimate abduction research. Or there was people hypnotizing people so they could write stories and sell tickets to conferences. But there wasn't anybody doing any legitimate research, except for John Mack. I don't think anybody else out there was. Bud was doing research, but Bud had a whole different kind of thing going on. And please, the person that sent me David Jacobs, I'm going to say this. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Did I laugh out loud? I apologize for that, y'all.
All right. Here's the deal, everybody. There's a lot of hero worship that goes on in this field, and I really don't understand why. And let me put it this way, and this comes from, you know, experience. You know, there's a saying out there where they say, you know, don't ever meet your heroes. You might not like what happens. That is a screen ufology. I can tell you some stories right now, but, well, I'm not. I don't want to go off and piss off too many people here.
Yes, I don't know. There's
like with David Jacobs, okay? I mean, I don't know. Go into it a little bit. What if you read the works of David Jacobs, you would come under the impression that extraterrestrials are only visiting this planet so that some type of hybrid alien being can rape our women. I mean, that's basically what goes down in a lot of his instances. And I have to say that's contrary, you know, to the caseload that I've worked with. Or I'm sorry, you know, hybrid rapes and gang rapes and, you know, weird types of ET sexual perversion really aren't the norm. You know, not that that stuff is entirely unheard of, but not to this degree. And, I mean, when all of your research, I mean, is completely and totally conflicting with the body of research done by somebody by David Jacobs, and you look into it a little bit further, and the only people that you find telling his story are people that have been hypnotically regressed multiple times by David Jacobs. In addition to a couple of whistleblowers coming out, you know, one in particular, that basically put a lot of Jacobs' dirty laundry out there for everybody to peruse and browse through. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't take anything this guy says to me. And, I mean, I don't really intend any disrespect to anybody out there that believes otherwise, but I'm under the opinion that if you fall for his bullshit, you don't need to be in this field in the first place.
Well, that's a good point, too. You definitely don't need to be in this kind of research at all. And it's, you know, first off, you know, like when he started with the doom and gloom with the reptilians, it's like, what is he basing this on? You know, one of the best debates I ever had, and one of the best conversations I ever had, was about an hour and 45 minute, 2 hour conversation. I was in Laughlin, Nevada. I was out there working press. I wasn't speaking. I was working press. And Linda had taken over Barbara Lamb's abduction session by accident. She was answering questions Barbara was asking her, and the next thing you know, everybody in the room was asking questions. It was very interesting. Well, the next day we were walking through the through where they sell the books, and Dave and Bud had a joint book out, and they were sitting at the table talking. So, you know, I'm Joe, and I can't help myself, so I got to go up and ask them some questions about abduction that I really felt like, where did you come up with this dumbass information from? So we got to talking, and we really got into a discussion. It wasn't really, I don't want to say it was a heated discussion. It was lively, let's say that. It wasn't really heated. It was lively. And before long, it was 10, 15, 20. Well, with and by it, we were into this conversation. It was a damn good one, by the way. You couldn't move anymore. On both sides of the room, they were lined up all the way to the back of the room trying to hear what we were saying, because frankly, this would never made any radio show or ever made any lectures anywhere. So if you happened to have been there up close where you could hear, she was actually getting an earful of a lot of information. We discussed a whole wide range of topics, and why they may or may not be wrong or correct. And we got to comparing research, and I'm like, well, look, guys, I said, okay, you got like 5 cases, you got like 15 cases. I'm like, okay, we got a little more than that back then, a couple of hundred maybe at the time, and maybe 1,000. And we were just going at it. But you could see the progression of our work. It was clear, it was precise, it was moving in a direction. You could see everything laid out. You could see why we came to these conclusions, why we came to those conclusions. But with theirs, you couldn't. All you were getting was stories from contactees. Well, stories are great, but stories are not going to get you to the truth, because every contact is a different one. So you're never going to get to the truth that way. You've got to do comparison study. That's the only way. And y'all should go over to the IR or to UFO Undercover or the ICAR site. And there's a research link on there. November Hansen's our research director. She's out of Oregon, right? Yeah, near Portland. She's out there handling all of our research and doing more comparison studies. I think there's all together, I'm losing count. It's either 9 or 11 studies that are ongoing right now. Yeah, they're ongoing. And they're never going to stop. As long as we can keep the sites up, they'll never stop.
Oh, man, let me tell you, just brainstorming with some of our directors, there's going to be a whole lot more studies. I mean, we've got a lot of good ideas that we'd like to collect some data.
Yeah. And we got busy sites these days, so putting up stuff, we get lots of attention. I was talking with some friends of mine yesterday. We were in the abduction at AT&T.net email. Right now, just sitting in there from just the last few months, there's about 122 emails with contactees. A lot of them have been contacted. A lot of them still haven't been contacted. But they're always piling. And that's just one of, I think, of what, 14 emails we have that deal with this subject. Or one of, I should say, more than 30 ways you can get in touch with one of us. But you got to be patient, because I got to be honest with you. It's not like the old days where you could call me and catch me on the first time, or Jason or somebody. Because frankly, the way it's happening right now, you're going to get hold of me personally. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to talk to, unless you know somebody close to me, you're going to have to work it. I'm not even going to lie to you, because anything more than that would be lying. Same thing with Jason. It's just, if you catch us on a day like when we're answering emails or we're answering Facebook, you might get lucky and catch us right then and there. If not, it's going behind everybody else's that we're going through and answering and talking to. And it's not like you can just say, well, hi, Gene, thanks for writing to me. Okay. Not really.
You can't really do that, because, I mean, basically anybody that you talk to, people want to talk. You're more or less going to have to, you can liken it to an intake interview where you're going to have to sit down for... You could probably get a basic one done in an hour, but, you basically have to bank out, at least 2 hours of your time to sit down and talk to somebody, introduce themselves to them, and, get the gist of who they are and what their story is. I mean,
I can only do so much. I'm starting to schedule just nothing but phone calls. Now, I'll do a couple emails, and if it's somebody I want to talk to, I'll just schedule a phone call. Oh, and Joe, you still here?
I'm still here.
I didn't know if you got into that beer yet, man. I'm jealous, by the way. I was thinking, remember that letter I sent you? Was it yesterday, day before yesterday? The one on Pal Talk. Oh, damn. It was my... Okay. I'll tell you what, today's my Wednesday. So that was on Pal Talk. They, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we keep our virtual auditorium on Pal Talk. It's www.paltalk.com. We're in the social issues category. Click that, click other, and look for UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I was thinking about that. The whole first part of that just sounds like a dream. But then I got to thinking, I was reading what you sent me, and then I got to thinking about something else. It sounds like an influence dream. Now, if it's an alien influence or if it's somebody else's influence, I'm not sure, but it does seem to be like an influence dream. I'm just wondering by who. If it could possibly be like some type of MILAB. And I hate using MILAB because not so much that it's really a military abduction. It's some kind of other thing. But it could be alien influenced. I don't know. I'm going to try to get on the phone with them in the next week and kind of go over that with them and kind of get a feel of what it is. I ought to ask them to call in on the show right now, but that wouldn't be fair to them. And, a lot of people don't want to talk about this in an open forum like this with all these people listening, which, I don't blame them. It's a lot of this stuff is personal.
Could be kind of...
Oh, go ahead.
Wait, Joe, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
I said, no, go ahead and talk anyway.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, get it all out there in the open.
Well, you know, like the whole black-eyed children thing that, I don't know, there's been a lot of people asking about that since it was in the trailer for that little, Fourth Kind movie?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, which, I'm sorry, that movie does not interest me in any kind of way. I mean, it just sort of looks like Paranormal Activity with a twist of sun into it or some kind of crap like that. Oh, God, all it's going to do is have a bunch of people asking me, do aliens behave like they're from a typical horror movie? And I'm going to have to say no. But a lot of people have been asking about black-eyed children because they show a snippet of that in the trailer. And I'd have to say, I think that's something that is probably like, you know, just one of those fear-based responses. You know, it's like something that you might make up in your mind if you wanted to represent, you know, some type of hybrid child concept that was presented to you.
Yeah, because they're definitely not hybrids. I don't know why.
Now, I mean, that it doesn't go without saying. Well, I know a couple of people that say they've actually had experience where, you know, they were up close and even held, you know, a child that could be described as black eyes. But, I mean, then again, you probe into that a little bit further, and, you know, these people say it may be possible that it might just be a child wearing, like, some of the black, gray-type protective overlays over their eyes. So.
Well, you know, too, Jason, it's interesting you say that because they may have developed them like contact lenses now. Instead of having to go over that part of your eye, they may have developed them the way they can just slide them in and wear them as contact lenses.
Technology do that. That could do that. I mean, I suppose you could, you know, take some kind of nano-touchy eye drop that would just, you know, sort of layer over the eye in a film and polarize when it needs to.
Well, Ariel, to answer your question right quick, why don't we think they're hybrids? Well, here's a thing for you. We know the grays don't have big black eyes. We know they actually have colored eyes. We know humans have colored eyes, so the two combinations probably are not going to make black. Now, I'm not going to say it's 100% impossible, but I'm going to say it's like 95%. They're going to be a different color. They're going to be a color, not black. Same thing with the humans and reptilians. They have colored eyes. So do we, and I don't think they're hybrids. And I've never heard of the hybrid children having black eyes. I've heard of having a lot of different color eyes, by the way, just not black ones. So I'm not thinking they're hybrids. Jason and then Joe might be right. It might be some kind of eye protection or glasses. As far as we know, it might be another race that they're doing the same thing to us. You know, they got a lot of keepers on board those ships that are humans. It's not to say they don't have keepers from other worlds. They may be doing the exact same thing they're doing here. See, humans,
you know,
forget about
might that. Be for the psychological effect.
I mean, there's a lot of things that could be going on here. And so I would rule out the blackout hybrid thing. I'm sure it's going to piss off half the ufology field. Oh, Joe's crazy. Them guys over at iCar are nuts. Oh, what are you talking about? They hybrids. No, they're not. Get over it. Move on.
Joe's crazy.
And you do hear an awful lot of, especially amongst female contactees, I mean, of one of the really common shared scenarios amongst many cases. And I probably have to say, I don't know, maybe 7 out of 10 women report something like this, but, you know, some type of, well, 7 out of 10 may be a little high, but it's extremely common. I'd actually have to look up the numbers to give you anything more accurate, but...
More than
50-50. A lot of instances where, you know, somebody was basically shown you know, a hybrid child and was given the implication that it was theirs. But in the vast majority of those cases, I mean, seeing a black-eyed child is extremely rare.
Yeah, well, when the black-eyed child thing, I was thinking about the hooded aliens with the red eyes. Now, I get the bad cop, good cop alien thing a lot. And to help people understand it, a lot of times we'll get people who write into us and say the Greys or the reptilians were wearing cloaks, or, you know, there'll be two of them, and one will be cloaked, one won't be cloaked, some of them will be cloaked. But it's funny, and I mean cloaked, you know, a hood cloaked, not like, you know, Star Trek cloaks. Not what I'm talking about, before anybody starts writing to me. But they talk about them being red eyes, and one's always mean and one's always nice. And after a couple of times of hearing that, it really did come off to me like good cop, bad cop. Like, you know, this guy's being an ass, so you'll develop a relationship with that guy to try to keep, you know, whatever from happening to you happening to you. It's just a weird scenario, and you never hear anybody talk about that hardly all until after we started talking about it about 10 years ago. It's just crazy. Ronnie, it's Wake Up USA, a UFO study, and it was owned by Stardust Production. I was the last or the second to last host of it. There was somebody hosted for like 4 episodes after me, but... who was before me? He was a MUFON guy, media guy over there. He had a couple of books out. Damn.
Jim Hicks.
That's his name.
Hickman.
Jim Hickman, yeah. He was there before me, and they had the youngest ufologist ever. Ed Clark was over there. He was the first host. And there's a lot of good shows over there. If they're still available on archive, there's a lot of really good shows over there. But it's Stardust Productions, and you can probably still find it online somewhere.
I haven't heard anything out of him in a while, man.
He's not on
Face of the Earth.
He's not on Pal Talk anymore. Somebody told me he was still doing like military type radio stuff. Well, not military, but like stuff for the military. You know, the heroes and stuff like that. He was doing stuff like that. But other than that, I hadn't heard about him doing anything. It was kind of a thing. It's weird to be affiliated with a show that long and not be the host anymore, but hey, stuff happens. And the reason why I left him actually is because we started the Paranormal Radio Network, and we needed more venues to talk. Wake Up USA was great. We just didn't. It wasn't enough. We needed more people out there talking about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, guys. I mean, really, a lot of research to discuss. Now, since we're on that. So we'll kind of leave the black-eyed children thing. You know, we'll leave it as not a hybrid thing. It could be a lot of other stuff we don't want to rule out. When we were talking about some type of eye protection or some type of, you know, better seeing or even another type of race. Because, you know,
The black-eyed child thing, I mean, before we leave that, I mean, that's something that if you want to see a lot of examples of black-eyed children, I mean, look up some concept art. I mean... you know, renderings of what somebody would expect a hybrid child to look like. And that's where you see a lot of the black-eyed child images coming from.
Yeah, they just instantly put them in there. And the bad part is, since a lot of the drawings are black and white, I think people just got the wrong idea. Yeah, I don't want to say people are dumb, but, you know, sometimes they are. And I think a lot of them just got the wrong idea because they were looking at the sketches thinking it was in black and white. Because I know there was a lot of sketches on the old Alien Enigma site. People used to write to me and ask me, well, is that the true color? It's a black and white sketch. It kind of threw me for a loop that people would ask because it was obviously a sketch in black and white. So it just kind of confused me a little bit. But hey, I'm easily confused these days. So. As you get older, them kind of things happen. You get easily confused. Joe, anything you want to talk about with the black-eyed children? Other than Joe kind of looks like a black-eyed child when he's drinking.
Yep.
Last time I seen him down in where was it? Where were we in Glen Rose? Huh? Is that where?
Yeah, Glen Rose.
Glen Rose. Yeah, we were down in Glen Rose. I still got all that audio tape too. It's somewhere. I posted it on. What the hell's it called? Damn. What the hell? It's one of our archive sites. I can't think of the name of it right offhand for some reason. But I'll find. I had it posted over there a couple of weeks ago. I had put it up. Just to see what people's reaction was hearing that story told. Joe's actually got two of the witnesses to the Stevensville sighting while we're on a campfire on the top of the hill where they actually had the sighting. He's got the whole thing where they're talking. There's other people talking in the background and stuff like that, but you can actually hear them talking. And every now and then, you know, because it's a video camera, every now and then you see some videos and people, you know, around a campfire, people standing around, stuff like that. It's interesting. It's a Podbean, not Podbean. When I remember, I'll tell you. But it's one of the other sites we got that we're set up on. Damn, why can't I remember the name of the site? I just accepted an invite from there today. That's making me crazy. Now, as far as do the Grays have hybrids? Well, yeah, it's hybrids. But what do you think, Jason, Joe? What do you think? 9, 10, 11, 12 different types of Grays? It got to be at least, I know there's 3 or 4 shades of color, 3 or 4 heights. I'm thinking at least 8 or 9, especially if you want to count some of the Grays as being cyborgs. Not all of them, but some of them. So, yeah, I always think at least 9. What do y'all think?
One thing I thought about, you know, is humans on Earth, there's various races of different shades and colors, shapes and sizes. Some have different eyes, different colored hair, different colored skin. So as you can say, it's not the same way as other alien races.
Well, yeah.
I think you're pretty close-minded to think that there was only one style of each alien race.
Yeah, see, that's a TV concept. I'm glad you know. That's what it is.
TV over the years warped everyone's mind, especially the X-Files.
It kind of has. What were you saying, Jason?
Well, if you want to look at it from another point of view, I mean, it's possible that, you know, all these grays could very well be like some type of localized variant for a particular environment. I mean, if you've got one species that's been colonizing other planets and, you know, you've had